Welcome back to the Howler Podcast. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Mary.
And we are on episode 8 of the podcast. Wow. And it's May, which is a very exciting time here at Arctic Wolf because it's the start of our new fiscal year. So there's just like a lot of energy and excitement about the new year ahead. So yeah, a really fun month to be here at Arctic Wolf, I would say.
And I would say, yes, it's a fun month, but today specifically, recording day, has been a really special day at the pack. Mm-hmm. So to debrief everybody on the day Chelsea and I have had so far is we started our day with a global celebration of Eid at Arctic Wolf. It's Arctic Wolf's first time ever celebrating this Muslim holiday. So huge shout out to Happy Wolves honoring Asian and Pacific Islanders. They planned a really thoughtful celebration with some of our Muslim pack members sharing about the holiday and how they celebrate. And all of our offices had different treats. So I enjoyed some baklava, but that was really special. And then Chelsea and I just got out of spending the morning with 6 students on site for a panel interview, the finalists in our Pack Unity Scholarship program. It was such a special morning. Chelsea, do you want to talk a little bit about the vision for the Pack Unity Scholarship?
Yeah. So right now this is the fourth year that we've done the scholarship program, and we visit local Minnesota schools. We expanded this year to 3 new schools, and we go in and we share about the cybersecurity industry, cybersecurity careers, and we really just try to expose students to a pathway that maybe they haven't even heard of. And in addition to that, we also provide them with training videos and learning resources so that they can learn how to keep themselves safe online and then hopefully extend that new knowledge to their loved ones. So this is all in the goal to continue to increase diverse representation within the industry. And we really feel like here at Arctic Wolf, we can be leaders in creating a more diverse and representative cybersecurity workforce. So we had the finalists in this morning and did a panel interview with them. And like Mary said, I mean, they just renewed our hope for the future. Like, we just kept repeating, they were so articulate and just kind and intelligent and positive and I just amazing young people. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about them.
Totally. And I mean, I personally was inspired by these students. All of them shared about their hopes and dreams, and many of them just want to do good every day and be kind to those around them and teach and instill those values in their family someday. But Chelsea and I witnessed a random act of kindness today. One of our scholarship winners, so the 2 winners get a scholarship plus a laptop. And I overheard one of our winners say that he would be giving his laptop to somebody else from his school that was a finalist but didn't win today. And he didn't make a big fanfare or show of it at all. I just happened to be behind him when he said it. And I told Chelsea, I was like, Chelsea, I just heard him say he's going to give his laptop to this other kid. But I was like, but don't say anything just in case I misheard. I don't want to put that out there accidentally. But then Chelsea then witnessed him later kind of sneak it off to his friend. So he could have kept that and sold it or given it to a friend, but it was just really, it was inspiring to me, his act of generosity and his humbleness. So
yeah,
kids of the future, if they're like the crew that was in today, make me really hopeful. They're kind, they're optimistic, and they have big dreams for making a positive difference. So
for sure. Yeah. It was such a special moment. And to Mary's point, I mean, these were really nice MacBooks. Like, he could have made some money off that. But instead, he chose to give that to another finalist. And it was just so beautiful. And we're feeling all the warm and fuzzies. And I hope that continues on into the podcast, into our discussion with Andrew, because I'm feeling good.
Absolutely. I feel just, it's one of those days where I'm just riding on a pack high. Like, I feel so proud and inspired to be part of this, such a special community. So speaking Speaking of our guests, today's guest is Andrew Burback. He's our Chief Information Officer and our Senior Vice President of Operations. Andrew has led Arctic Wolf's business operations since April of 2018. Before joining, he was Director of Operations at Perfor Software, where he oversaw all lead-to-cash operational functions. And prior to that, he served as Senior Manager of Sales Operations and Renewals at Code 42. We're so excited to get to know Andrew a little bit better today. So let's jump into our conversation. Okay, Andrew, welcome to the Howler Podcast. We're so excited you're here today.
Giddy up, here we are.
I know that you're not as excited as we are, but genuinely, I'm excited this conversation to get to know you personally as well.
I think I told you earlier, you know, if there's one thing, talking about yourself is always, it's not my forte. So here we are. We'll talk about myself and Arctic Wolf and whatever else you got too. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to ease into it because we always like to have a little fun at the start of the podcast. So as Mary kind of alluded, we don't know you as well as some of the other guests we've had on. So we reached out to Kristen Dean and we were like, what do we know about Burbs? And she was like, okay, he's from Wisconsin and he loves Wisconsin sports. So
oh, no. I have. Oh no. This is not, if it's names, it's like, it's not even a thing. Like, you know, name that. We'll
just have fun. We're just having fun. No pressure. But I have some. It's Wisconsin/Wisconsin sports trivia.
This is going to be brutal. I was hoping it was Would You Rather. You can't screw that up. But here we go.
That's true. But this is more fun. This is more fun. Okay. So the first question. The Wisconsin Badgers ice hockey teams have won many NCAA national titles. How many total, both men and women, have they won?
Oh, I think the women are 6 or 7. The men, 2 or 3. I'd say 9.
Okay, you are on the right track. So the total is 13. Men have won 6. Women have won 7. So you did know about the women.
I have 2 kids in hockey. And my daughter followed the Badgers closely this last year, the Badger women. So,
okay. See, that wasn't bad. You like, yep. You do a little bit.
A little bit.
How your daughter know that her assist in helping you get the question right today?
My college dorm overlooked the Kohl Center. So that's where they played hockey.
Okay. Okay. Nice. Okay. This one is not sports. This is just general Wisconsin trivia. The very first kindergarten classes were held by a German couple in 1856 in what Wisconsin city? And I made it multiple choice for you. A, Two Rivers, B, Milwaukee, C, Appleton, or D, Watertown.
Milwaukee, I would think. It's the biggest city. It's on the lake. No, that's not the right.
It's Watertown, Wisconsin.
Okay. Far from where I grew up. Watertown.
Really? Far. I've spent a lot of time in Watertown. My aunt lives there.
Sun Prairie is home for me, so.
Okay. Yes, Watertown right behind. The school is behind the Octagon House, if you've ever heard of the Octagon House. Nope. Okay.
I'm learning. You learn something every day, they say, and what did you know? Here we are. Learn something.
Well, who knew?
Yeah, well, if you ever make it to Watertown, Wisconsin, the first ever kindergarten classes in the U.S. were
there.
That's
interesting.
Yeah. Okay, 2 more. We are recording this in April, so in honor of Earth Day, Earth Month, the founder of Earth Day is from Wisconsin. What is their name?
It's multiple choice.
I don't know if that'll help you. It might just sound like random names, but
I was going to say Joe, but
okay. A, Gaylord Nelson, B, Dennis Hayes, C, Selma Rubin, or D, Mark McGinnis.
I'm going to say Gaylord Nelson because it sounds familiar. And I don't know if it was trivia. I think it was a governor and
That is correct. Senator Gaylord Nelson is from Wisconsin. And Mary has a fun fact about that.
Well, he grew up, my small town of Clear Lake, Wisconsin. He grew up in Clear Lake and then became senator. So that's my small town's claim to fame. So when Chelsea was looking for trivia questions yesterday, I was like, oh.
I didn't know you were Wisconsin. Where's Clear Lake? It's not Turtle Lake.
It's near Turtle Lake, though. It's like 15 miles from Turtle Lake.
We have a cabin in northern Wisconsin in Minong.
Okay.
So Turtle Lake is on the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Or a cottage for those in Canada. It's a cabin here. It's a cottage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to say for our global pack, this probably sounds like gibberish, but we're just talking Midwest small towns. Okay. All right. And the last question, the first cheese head was worn at what Wisconsin sports team's game? Like what sports team?
It has to be the Packers. It has to be the Packers.
No.
What?
Apparently, it was at a Milwaukee Brewers game.
Well, it was probably at a Milwaukee Braves game.
True.
The Braves before the Brewers? I think maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe it was the other order.
This is what the internet told me. Don't quote me.
Okay. Fair enough. I thought
that was a fun little tricky one because obviously we all would have thought the Packers.
I would have thought the Packers. Yeah.
I know.
I thought it was a layup question, but I guess not.
I know. Sorry. I thought maybe it was one of those niche things that like Wisconsin people know, you know, like the rest of the world thinks it's the Packers, but we know that it's.
No.
Either way, this was fun. You learned a little bit about your home state. We learned a little bit about your home state. And now we can get into the hard hitting questions.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Okay. Well, you talked a little bit about how your college dorm overlooked.
Kohl Center.
The Kohl Center. So it looks like from doing a little research, you studied accounting in college and then started out as an accountant to Target. So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you went from accounting to being the CIO at a cybersecurity company.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. I think when I went to school, I wanted to, my mom was in accounting and I was always told kind of accounting was the language of business. So I said, well, I'm going to get my degree in accounting. I always had a knack for numbers and did that. It turns out though, after a year and a half or so of doing it. Now I was at a big company. It was Target, you know, I don't know, 100,000 employees. You're very segmented in what you do. You get to spend, you know, I was in real and personal property tax and I did accrual accounting for this certain area. And like I said, after about a year and a half, I said, I don't think this is for me. It's too regimented. It's the same monthly calendar. I just needed a little more variety. So, I actually took a chance and moved into sales. It took me like 6 months to try to get a sales job from a connection that my wife worked with. I networked with a spouse and it took me like 6 months. They're like, we're not going to hire an accountant into sales. and after many tries, they finally took a chance on that. And ultimately it was a number of different sales roles, whether it was a sales development rep pounding the phone, a partner manager, a channel manager. In all of those roles, I was always kind of the problem solver that I would complain about something and my boss would say, go talk to IT. And then when we decided to have a family, I was traveling too much and I moved into management and into sales management where I started to learn more about kind of more systems, because as an inside sales leader, you're always trying to figure out the systems and manage the systems. So it was just kind of natural that the technology piece and the sales piece, which moved into operations from there. So I managed an inside team, managed a sales operations team, a renewals team, an SDR, you know, kind of did all those roles, but they were always at a smaller company where most of the technology or a lot of the technology at a smaller company is actually built around the sales marketing motion. It's actually no different than Arctic Wolf. We have so many pieces of technology in that kind of revenue operations area. So I spent a lot of time, learning the technology and working with kind of on the business side with the IT organizations. And then over time, it just kind of blended into starting to run some portions of IT, or, you know, different portions of IT. I did a couple years at a company called Perforce that was an integrator that was focused on integrations of M&A targets. It was kind of a consolidation play from a PE firm. And it turns out a lot of the integration is IT integration. So got a lot of experience there. And when I came to Arctic Wolf, it was really to get that order to cash kind of business systems, business operations stood up, and then just branched out from there. So I don't know. It's there's probably a few more stories in there in between, but that's kind of how it came to be running the technology side of the business.
Yeah.
And I would say, the benefit of that is, I think one of the benefits is being on the business side and now being on the technology side. Mm-hmm. You get a feeling for the stakeholders that you support because in some instances, not in all, but in some, you know, I've been in their shoes. And one of the goals of some of the teams is to get some people that have been in the business's shoes to understand what they feel, what they're doing, because you can be a better partner to help them kind of provide solutions.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I was going to say, it's so nice to kind of hear you explain your career journey, because on paper, it's like, okay, how do we get from accounting to leading IT? Like, it feels like it's like a really big leap, you know? Yeah. But even in hearing your story, I mean, I'm assuming there was still like a learning curve, even going from accounting to sales. I can kind of see, like, you know, the soft skills needed and things like that. But like learning IT systems feels like what was that kind of process like?
Yeah, I was always kind of a technologist at heart. So I always tinkered with technology, had different technology. You know, am I going to be able to, you know, write 10,000 lines of code? No. But you don't have to do that, right? So I think we have really smart people that can take on the really challenging problems that we have. Mm-hmm. And I think part of leading it is just kind of, is up-leveling a little bit, or trying to looking at it from a less technical standpoint, because most of our I just want X. The stakeholders don't care about the ones and the zeros. They just want their laptop to work, or right. I want a help desk ticket. All right. So some of the problems you have as a leader of the team, you don't necessarily have to have stood in every spot. I do think it's great to a lot of the teams I lead, I've worked or done a lot of their functions. And I would say that's different on some of the core IT side, but I've worked so closely for so long with them. You know, I've learned, you never say it's easy. You can say it's straightforward. That was like something I learned when working on the business. I was like, it's so easy. They're like, no, it's straightforward. It doesn't mean it's easy. So I think, the accounting side, every day you're like, you know, now it's budgets and expenses and, you know, OPEX versus CAPEX. Like that background is absolutely helpful, and use it every day.
Yeah, totally. And I think back to kind of talking about not needing to be in the weeds for everything or have necessarily all the IT knowledge to be able to lead the tech piece. So often you hear from leadership, like a good part of being a leader is to like hire the right people and then get out of the way, and provide the support that they need speak for them in rooms when you need to, but like letting people just do their jobs, is so important. So,
yeah, I'll have an opinion on something, but there's smarter people than me on how to solve the problem. I'll give one view, but take the best view that works, and let's do that.
That was great. We're going to take a quick pause right now to hear a security win from one of our security services PAC members.
My name is Meg Warren. I am a triage security engineer from our Pleasant Grove, Utah office. A short time ago, I received a ticket from a customer that was receiving a large number of restricted country login alerts. They had responded to a ticket asking us to make a change to the suppression, but I was curious about the issue as a whole, so I took a look at all of their past login tickets and all of their current restricted country login tickets. I then went through all of their suppressions and reconfigured those so that they would better fit the customer's needs. After that, I worked with the concierge team to come up with some intel, some ticket notes that would make it easier for us to configure future suppressions to better fit those needs. The customer was very happy with our results and did benefit with more relevant alerting. This was a good security win for me because it proved to me the importance of owning the outcome, which is one of our core tenets. When we own the outcome on even small issues like a restricted country login alert, it can make a big change for the customer.
Okay, well, I know you shared a little bit about how you went from accounting to now being, the CIO. We do know before Arctic Wolf, you were at Code 42. We had a lot of folks at Code 42 before Arctic Wolf. So kind of what made you originally interested in cybersecurity specifically, like this industry?
Yeah, the industry. I think, right before Arctic Wolf, I actually did 2 years at a company called Perforce, which was in the DevOps space. And security would constantly come up with that company of things like the supply chain and the development lifecycle of how you write code and develop. So that was one that I knew there was a problem, but probably what got me most interested is I wanted something that no one had solved yet. And like cybersecurity seemed like no one had solved the problem yet. Why Arctic Wolf? Earlier in my career, I had been at a number of different smaller technology companies. And I thought I wanted to find somewhere that was like fast growing technology because it afforded myself great opportunities, both personally and professionally. It's really fun to be somewhere where you can build and make an impact. I had done the 100,000 seat Target company and I it wasn't for me. I had done the 100,000 seat, Dell organization and great company, but it's really hard to make an impact. So I wanted both a company where I felt like I could make an impact, where you were like excited to come to work. There was real problems to solve. But in the industry that no one had figured it out yet, because it presented fast growth tech, I thought, and it presented great opportunities.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about being at Arctic Wolf as well, is just the opportunity to create and build and chart our own path and do what people have never done before and all the impact that and growth that comes with that.
Yeah. And I think what's great about it now, right? I've been here for going on 6 years. So we were 100 employees. Now we're 2,500. You still come to work and there's still problems to solve each day, and you can still make an impact and move them forward. There's not a lot of there's more stakeholders to work across now, but everyone's kind of wanting to, we haven't figured it all out yet. So there's still problems to solve. So that's what kind of keeps it engaging.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm approaching year four and I feel like there's new problems and they're just different, like now there's international like growing internationally and new offices and acquisitions and never a dull day. But speaking of days, tell us a little bit about a day in your life. What are the types of projects and tasks you and your team are working on, the problems you're solving for the org, and maybe to a recent accomplishment that your team has done that you're proud of?
Yeah, a regular day. I don't know if there's anything really special about my regular day versus any others. At the end of the day, it's I usually have one meeting with I have six different direct reports. So one of those people, we probably have a one-on-one to talk through things. But other than that, it's we have some bigger projects or, organizationally we're working through objectives for the year. So there's probably some discussion on some of those, or we're somewhere in a project. But most of the day is spent like problem solving or breaking down a roadblock or providing clarity to the team of something that, maybe I didn't give enough guidance on something or the goal or them. Like my day is pretty interactive with the team going across a lot of different areas. I'm trying to think of a recent accomplishment that something that that the team has put a lot of work into, both cross-functionally, is as a business, we've transformed from just this MDR only provider to multiple products. And, the sales analytics team and the BI team and BizApps have been working to get the product organization and in the sales organization better reporting around that. So we've been on a 2 or 3 month project to try to really harness some of the data we have to provide insights to the business. So that one's pretty exciting in terms of a project that will have output to the business that that was cross-functional in nature, but also took time. It's an analysis of our subscription products and all of our agreements we have with customers. But yeah, I don't think there's any, like, there's not a typical day back to the why do I, like, accounting versus where I chose. Like, I went into sales because it seemed like there wasn't a typical day. And I would say none of my days are the same. There's always something different, which makes it, you know, a little more enjoyable, at least for me.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, we, Chelsea and I mentioned in the intro to the podcast today about how we had 6 scholarship candidates in today from local high schools here in Minneapolis. And they asked us, the Arctic Wolf folks that were there, about what a typical day in our life was. And it was fun just to talk through with them. Like, there really is no typical day, especially in Arctic Wolf world. And each day brings different challenges and projects and collaborating with different folks. But I will say something that we're really grateful for, as, if you will, an accomplishment from your team. But speaking of the scholarship program, we have a really small budget right now for volunteerism and giving back, because we're privately funded, and we're just flexing the muscle to be ready for when we have a larger give back budget. But because of that, we got creative and partnered with your IT team, and they wiped and create, like, got 4 really nice laptops ready for us so that we could gift 4 of them to the students today, in addition to the scholarship dollars, to be able to
give back
to more students. So just, like, so cool to partner with the team. I mean, we love partnering with your IT team. They're amazing, and they just do an incredible job supporting the PAC, but also helping us with onboarding and even things like today. The scholarship program was really cool to come together and make a difference. Their faces, they didn't know that we also had the laptops to give, and their faces just lit up when we pulled those out. So,
and they'll last a long time. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about leadership, and you've referenced, you know, you do have a background in sales. And so I'm just curious, you know, with your background and then currently leading sales operations, what are some skills you think you've learned throughout your sales career that has helped you just become a better leader?
I'd probably say that, critical thinking is obviously, it's important. So probably not some, I learned throughout sales ops. I mean, every decision you make, there's this aspect of critical thinking that's important. But I think the skill that's probably been the most as a leader is that results sometimes take time. And when you're, you know, within sales operations, an example is you're making a compensation plan and you're trying to plan for the year, or you're changing how we go to market. And while you, like, you want the easy button, I think it's the patience, and that, like, results take a little time. And I think that's important as a leader, because it can be frustrating that you just, like, you want the change that you're asking, you know, maybe you hired someone, or you're seeing a behavior, or you're like, there's something going on. It's probably that results take a little bit of time. And after enough repetition or time, like, the chip does turn, or the team does come together, or like, that's probably one that I've learned. I don't know if it's because of just sales ops, but that's in general, that you can't flip a light switch on leadership in different areas as much as you want to. And it's also something that each of my leaders, like, right, when we're talking, you have a challenge, it just takes a little, like, you have to have a little patience, even though I'm not a patient person. It doesn't come naturally, but then it does take a little time.
But that makes sense. Just given some of the people that I know that work in sales in general, maybe not necessarily sales operations, but I've never worked in sales, but I didn't really understand that sometimes, like, a deal could take months or, like, years of, like, continuing the relationship building with a client and all those things. Like, in my mind, you make the call, they say yes or no, you either made the sale or not. I mean, I obviously don't think that anymore, but early on, like straight out of college, that's what I thought sales was. So I could see how, to your point, like results take time, and you know, you do have to like cultivate those relationships and be patient, which I'm also not a patient person either, so I can relate. So I can see how that maybe you learned some of that through sales.
Yeah, I think there's a book, both my kids, I wish I had it. It's like I have like a wooden book of it that a sales leader gave to me. And it was about like a little kid who planted a carrot and he watered it every day. And it, you know, and ultimately, you know, 6 months later, everyone told him it wasn't going to grow. And then he pulled the carrot out of the ground. It's kind of, you know, that sales is a hard, like, I don't think people understand how hard it is. You know, to wake up every 3 months at Arctic Wolf and you're back to zero and you're like, have to fill the gas tank again. Like it's a grind. It can also be really rewarding. It's rewarding when you land a deal, but it takes, you know, building a new territory, man, it takes a lot of work.
Could you maybe, just thinking through, maybe people that don't understand what sales operations even is, like, could you just give a quick cliff notes of like, what is sales operation? Like, how are you supporting the sales team?
Yeah, so there's the team today is made up of a few different groups. I'd say there's, you know, commissions and so sales commissions, the team that runs the plans, pays the plans with our finance partners. There's analytics and reporting. So all of the analytics that go into running the sales teams, how do we, you know, territory planning, how do we decide to carve up territories given the number that, you know, that the board agrees to and comes down, or the leadership team agrees to and is blessed by the board. We have to do X millions of dollars. How do you carve it up based on the green space we have? So there's the analytics team. We have our channel operations group in there. So they're the team responsible for, you know, ensuring our partners have everything they need, but also making sure our deal registrations that come in are all reviewed by that group. And then we have a team that basically supports the sellers through, you know, whether it's unique deal structures, how do you quote this deal? How do we make sure we validate the orders that come in from customers and partners that, you know, the quote we have, the price that we have, everything equals, the dates are right. So those are kind of the teams, mm-hmm. that make it up, but it's really to help sales, you know, enable sales to run as fast as they can, but also try to remove friction along the way.
So to reiterate, there's a lot more than just a cold call and a yes or no. 22-year-old Chelsea didn't understand that.
I think, and as a buyer of technology right now on the IT side, it's a lot goes into it, right? So it's not easy to be a seller. It makes it easier when you have a great product or great service or a differentiated offering. But even then, you know, budgets are hard to come from, and finding the right people who, it's a grind.
So shout out to the sales teams.
Shout out to the seller.
And the sales operations team, because to your point, like, it's literally teamwork makes the dream work. Like, you guys are enabling them to be able to sell. So
yeah, they partner pretty closely. So
yeah,
we have a great group on both sides there.
Well, I was thinking out too, Andrew, when you were talking about like progress or results take time. I think that's interesting. Coupled with, I was thinking about how I've been in meetings before with your leaders where we're working on a project or an integration or something to do with scaling IT. And they'll say, you know, like Andrew always says, and I know this isn't like you weren't the original quoter of this, but they will say like, you know, like Andrew always says, don't let, perfection be the enemy of progress. So I feel like that's something that you've instilled in your teams, and I think goes in tandem with results take time, but like, let's work towards that progress versus like stalling for perfection and never getting there.
Yeah, that might be my lack of patience wearing through as I say that one, but everyone wants to, sometimes you just have to move the ball down the field. It might not be the prettiest play, but it gets the ball down the field.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really helpful because sometimes I think with like IT stuff, there can be just like so many requirements and specifications and things you could possibly do. So to just be like, you know what, let's just like make a baby step forward here is really helpful. But kind of on that topic, what's the best leadership advice that you've ever been given?
I'd say hire people that have different skills than you. You probably hear, you know, hire people smarter than you. And when I look at my team of leaders, we definitely have different skills or different, we approach problems differently. We look at it like having a couple of different opinions is important. I don't think any of my leaders are like a clone of me, think exactly like, or think like me. There's probably one or two that are closer to how I would attack some things than others, but that's probably the best advice I was given. And I think it makes for like better conversations between each other and better like we always come at things from different angles a lot of times and then meet in the middle. You know, so that's probably one. I was trying to think of the other was early in my career. I think the first time I took a team managing, it was, they say it was something like, you know, navigate the ship. You don't have to steer it. So kind of chart the path, but you don't have to steer it. It was kind of, don't be a micromanager. Like no one wants that. So that was, I guess, the way of saying, you don't have to steer it every day. Like go from point A to point B, smart people figure it out. Come to me if you need help or advice, or if there's a roadblock. But other than that, like, I'll give you my opinion, but it's just it's usually one of the opinions, and then let the team figure. Like I said, if you have smart people on a team, they figure it out. They might not do it the same way you're thinking about it, but that's why they're there. That's why we hired them. That's why they work here. Go figure it and sort out the problem.
Yeah, I love that. I don't know if I've ever heard that boat analogy before, but I love the idea of like, you navigate the course. Like, we know we got to get from point A to point B, but then like, let the crew get the ship there. Like, you don't have to necessarily be doing all the roles to like, to get us there. So
I also think it was written on the back of a piece of paper I have it somewhere at home because it was like, I don't have it with me. It was like four or five, like first time manager. And that was one of the first lines.
And I also, just going back to what you said around like all of your direct reports aren't necessarily clones of you, which I also love because it's kind of hard to ensure you don't do that. Like it's easy to be like, oh my gosh, I completely vibe with this person. We think the same. I can trust that they'll kind of do it the way that I would want it to be done. But as we all know, like diversity of thought and opinion and experience and perspective is like what makes us stronger. So just as a leader, like knowing you have people that maybe are going to do things differently than you would, like how have you like grown in that area and learned how to navigate that and kind of just like let things go and trust the team? Because that's not always like easy to do. You know what I mean? Like when you're also a person with opinions and and things.
Well, I didn't say I totally let them go, but no, I think I'd say as a leader, that's or as a first time leader or manager, like for anyone that gets that promotion, the letting it go is the hardest thing I constantly see from new leaders. Like delegate. They want to do it all themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's like the biggest challenge. But as far as how the team does, I think the different teams that are part of my group, there's a lot of like we go from the CISO with Adam Mare to corporate IT to manufacturing and sourcing and sales ops. Like the functions are so wide that the skill sets of each of the people in those jobs, they've done it for a long time. They've seen a lot of places. I think you just have to kind of, that's why they're here. That's why we hired them. So you have to, I guess that's just part of the gig. Like you have to just believe in what they're saying. Like I said, I always, my team won't tell you, I don't give an opinion. I always give my opinion,
right.
But they have disagreed with, you know, they disagreed with me many times. And that's like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like my job is we need to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think. I sometimes, at least at Arctic Wolf, have the benefit of being here for a longer tenure or seeing maybe a holistic picture because of how things relate to each other. And especially with like newer folks on the team, but they just rely, like the teams are, we have enough scale now and enough people that, mm-hmm. that there's smart people and they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like, come to me if there's a roadblock, come to me if I didn't describe, if I didn't explain something, you know, provide clarity, but really figure it out.
Yeah, well, it makes me think about when Nick was on the podcast, he talked about the kiss of death being pride and how he really values humility in leaders. And I just think it does take humility to be able to say, hey, I'm open to your perspective or opinion, or we can disagree about this. And I trust you, my team, to together we can come up with the best decision versus like, yep, my way is the best way. My way is always right. I think it shows humility to have that dialogue with your team.
You also can't scale that way, right? Like that's the biggest, like it just doesn't work. You have to give up control to get things done. Otherwise you become nothing can get done without you. And I would hope my team, I don't think they feel that way. We move too fast at Arctic Wolf for that to be a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it makes me, when you were talking, it made me think about our culture tenet of communicating with candor, or it's part of our culture tenet of owning the outcome is to communicate with candor. And I just think that exemplifies it really well of like, let's disagree about this to get to the right decision. And you share what you think and so-and-so is going to share what they think. And we're not going to like skirt around the truth or like not say something because we don't want to offend someone. We're going to have that conversation respectfully and get to the right decision. So.
Great. Well, we are on our last serious question. we like to ask all of our guests a mental health and wellness question. So just curious, how do you prioritize your well-being for yourself, like mental, physical well-being? And then how do you prioritize that or model that for your team as well?
We all work super hard, right? Like you're in fast growth tech. There's always more that you can do than there is time in the day.
Yeah.
So, my biggest thing is like taking a break from work. Like if you're on my team, you've heard me say it, like, I don't want you taking your laptop on. I had a request for someone to, they were going overseas somewhere. I wanted to take their laptop. I was like, what are you doing? Like, don't take your laptop. You're on vacation. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like if you can really disconnect from work, like it will be here when you get back. I always remind them. So like take the time is probably for there's always so much going on. So that's what I tell everyone. Just take the time. We have it there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like you have to stay in the office till 7 o'clock at night. Like it will be there tomorrow. We're not like doing brain surgery, right? So it's 99.9% of the time, it's not life and death. So
We're laughing because we have our own phrases. Like I always say, we're not curing cancer. Mary always says we're not saving babies. So like we have a similar phrase of like, we can all take a deep breath here, you know?
Yeah. So I think that's probably the biggest one because getting like taking time off, you know, like in the summer for me, I love to go to the cabin, like, I'm going to take some Fridays off in the summer and be at the cabin. And I expect the rest of the team to do it because it's not like we're not putting in our time, during the week. That's usually not an issue.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Take your PTO. And when you're on PTO, be on PTO.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Mary, anything else before you want to ask or say before we do rapid fire?
When was your most recent PTO, Andrew, and what did you do?
What did I do? That's good. I think it was taking my kids to the state high school hockey championship.
Oh, nice.
So high school hockey in Minnesota, it's, sell out 16,000 people to watch high school hockey. And our local team that where we live, Chanhassen, was in the state championship.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So that was what, like a month ago? So you've taken PTO within the past
taken month. PTO in the last month, yep.
Okay, good. A man of his word. Okay, well, now we're at the rapid fire. So these are fun questions again. Rapid fire, first thing that comes to your head, don't think too hard on it, okay? Best concert of your life?
Oh, people who know me. Hootie and the Blowfish. It was at the Zoo in Minnesota before Darius Rucker became Darius Rucker. He was like Darius Rucker, but he was still Hootie.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah, 2008. That was front row. I mean, Hootie and the Blowfish is the best band ever.
Okay. I don't know what I expected you to say. Like, I had no concept of who you were going to throw out, but I wasn't expecting Hootie and the Blowfish, but I mean, love
Hootie. I give crap all the time because I would have said Nickelback, and everyone gives you crap for Nickelback, but Hootie, okay. Look at Mary's face, just disgust, but, but Hootie's great. There isn't a bad Hootie and the Blowfish song.
I honestly don't know if I could name one.
I know. We're going to have to put it on in the HR corner today. We'll put that on the Sonos.
I'll play it in the Sonos from this side in the HR side.
Okay. Sounds good. And also, Andrew, justice for Nickelback. I don't get why they get so much hate. I also think they're totally fine. Like, they're fine. It's
awesome.
Yeah. Next one. Favorite word.
No. So the for those who know me, my nickname's Dr. No. When you're in the operations world, in order to scale, sometimes you have to say no. So that's my favorite word. Okay. We'll say professionally. Yeah. That's...
Okay. I was going to say, we just had a whole conversation about you being like, we have to trust our teams and appreciate different. No.
I'm that's joking. Usually for the asks of everything that comes.
Yes. No, I know what you mean. Okay, a place on your bucket list.
Bucket list, Thailand, like a beach in Thailand.
Nice. What is something that people often get wrong about you?
Well, let's do professional. Back to my no. I think that it's I don't want to help. Or that professionally, I think that's one of them. Like, you don't want to help. And I think it's not that it's exact opposite. I want to help as much as I can. But mm-hmm. You have to kind of prioritize things, sometimes ruthlessly, in terms to scale, right? So that's probably one thing that I want to help as much as I can. But mm-hmm. you can't please everyone either. So that's mm-hmm. Otherwise, things won't scale. So that's probably one. Wait, these are fun questions, but I'm making them serious. So,
well, I was going to say, too, like, as a leader, you have to also, like, protect your team and their time and resources. And, like, yeah, sometimes that's saying no to things.
Chelsea, I'll bring you to the next team meeting. This is great.
Chelsea's like your ultimate hype gal.
I'm just, anytime you say something, I'm like, what Andrew said. okay, last one. Give us a snapshot of an ordinary moment in your life that has brought you joy.
Well, I touched on it earlier. I think, my cat, like the cabin or cottage, it's like 85 and sunny. It's like June on a Saturday. You might have a spotted cow in your hand. Kids are like on a tube behind the boat. You're on the water. That's probably an ordinary moment that being with the family at the cabin is definitely, a time to like get out of the city, mm-hmm. get out of the work, you know, like the office, mm-hmm. and spend time with the family. That's definitely probably the best.
Yeah. That sounds nice. I actually have a wild card final rapid fire question.
Fire.
Because I was joking with some PAC members here when I was telling them you were going to be on the podcast and that I was doing Wisconsin trivia. And they were like, you should have done Subway trivia, because if you don't know, Andrew loves Subway, always has like some sort of connection deal. Maybe that's supposed to be hush hush. We can edit it out. But a big lover of Subway. So what is your go-to Subway sub?
A cheesesteak. I mean, it's like it's, oh, okay. It's the best one. And that's right. We have, we do have a small group, you know, like Subway sends like a code out every couple weeks and they Slack it to like 10 or 12 of us. It's, mm-hmm. you can walk to it from the office, you can order it on your phone if you're in meetings. So yeah, it's quick and easy.
And you know, yeah.
You can't go wrong with a cheesesteak.
Yeah. And you can have it your way, as they say at Subway.
You can.
Hey, and you get your wellness in with some steps walking over there.
Yeah, it's a nice, well, now that summer's here, you drive over in December, but now you can get a quick walk in and it's there and back in 15 minutes.
I should have done some Subway trivia. I don't even know what that would have meant, but I'm sure I could have found something on the internet, but anyway, thank you so much
for being brought to you by Subway. So thanks.
Yeah. Literally, I mean, if we have podcast sponsors, that would be cool. The goal at some point. I don't know how that would work being a corporate podcast, but we could figure it out. We could figure it out in the future. But thank you so much, Andrew, for being on the podcast. It was so great just to like get to know you a little bit better. Loved learning about your journey, and also just your leadership philosophy. And you can tell you just like really value and trust your team. So I'm sure they will appreciate hearing all the lovely things you had to say today too. So thank you so much.
Good talking with both of you. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. What a great conversation with Andrew. Like I said, so fun to get to know him a little bit better. And just like get to hear his insight and perspective into working here at Arctic Wolf and his journey. So thanks again, Andrew, for joining us. And thank you everyone for listening. Please continue to listen, like, and subscribe on YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you are a PAC member, lots of fun things coming up in May. May is Mental Health Awareness Month and Asian and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. So be on the lookout. We're going to have a ton of fun, wonderful events and learning resources for you all. So make sure you are in the PAC Unity Slack channel.
Yes, so excited. We're also kicking off our fiscal year. So looking forward to another year of growth and impact for the PAC. If you want to be part of this special community that we have here and be part of this scholarship program and just a place where people come together to do meaningful things, check out our open positions at arcticwolf.com/careers. And we will catch you all next month.
Yes. Bye. Thanks, everyone.